It's Ian Pickus in the Congressional Corner today with Vermont Congresswoman Becca Ballant, an at-large Democrat in her first term and now running for a second. So last time we were talking about some of the histrionics that have taken place in the House of late. We had Democratic Massachusetts Congressman Richard Neal on the show the other day, and he said that Democrats are not very keen to help Speaker Johnson survive a second ouster attempt. Do you agree that that was a one-time bailout?
Yes, I do. Look, we were faced with a situation a couple weeks ago where Marjorie Taylor Greene was once again trying to stop the work of the House. That was her goal. She didn't have support of the conference. She was just making trouble to make trouble. And I felt very strongly that we should, at that time, defeat the motion to vacate the speakership, to table it, to put it aside, because I felt like it was a direct renouncing of the way that Marjorie Taylor Greene is conducting herself. So, you know, her motion had no support from her own colleagues. And yet, again, where is the speaker? The speaker has all kinds of authority that he or she can use. You can remove people from committees. You can isolate them in lots of ways procedurally. But they have enabled her to continue to make it harder for us to do our work. And so we want the work to be able to continue. So that was a one-time situation. But you know, with the antics of going to the Trump trial and trying to interfere in a criminal court case, there's not a lot of love lost. And as another colleague of mine from Massachusetts, Jim McGovern, always says, we're not a cheap date. And we want the House to stay open and the work to be done, but we also want somebody in the position who has a seriousness of purpose. And we're just not seeing that right now.
As you mentioned, you're on the Judiciary Committee. I was wondering what you make of Justice Samuel Alito's flag hobby.
Oh, I got to tell you, it is incredibly, incredibly disheartening to see the court tarnished in this way. There's just no other way that I can put it. It's disgraceful that you would have a Supreme Court justice essentially through his flags promoting false conspiracy theories about the 2020 election and then not recusing himself from all January 6 cases. I just, the court has lost so much credibility. And this is a situation where Chief Justice Roberts needs to make a statement. We need to have, at the very minimum, he has to recuse himself, being Alito, from cases involving January 6th. He clearly is not a person who can weigh in on a case as a disinterested party.
What if he doesn't? I mean, they have the question of Trump's immunity before them. There's nothing forcing Alito to recuse himself.
Well, I know I have a member of Congress already who has, filed a bill to have him censured. And we don't, there are three branches of government and they are separate. And so our options, they're not great and they're not clear. And I think this is another instance of people who have authority not using their voice to be clear about their values. And so I see a lot of senators, Republican senators, saying, yeah, it's a bad look, but, no biggie. Yeah, he shouldn't have done that. That doesn't look good. When you don't have people showing leadership and drawing the line, then there is no line. So I want to see a stronger renunciation by members, both in the House and the Senate, related to this behavior of Alito, and also by Justice Thomas's wife. Let's not forget all of the texts that she sent in trying to overturn an election. And so,
yeah, but they don't talk about politics at home.
Yes, I'm certain. I'm certain. I don't have a lot of faith in that. And I can tell you that lawyers right now in the House of Representatives are looking very carefully at what our options are around the Supreme Court. And it's going to be a very tough situation because the separate branches of government. But again, it's not as if there aren't voices right now who could be using their platform and using their influence to say, enough, Justice Roberts, you have got to lead the court.
Let me go to another place now with you. We had on the former Rhode Island Congressman Patrick Kennedy the other day, and he was talking about his work on mental health. You have a bill that's related to that called the MEND Act. What does it do?
Yes, and I'm a big fan of former Representative Kennedy. He and I have talked on numerous occasions about his work on mental health. I consider him a bit of a mentor. I have been working hard on mental health issues since I got to Congress. My latest bill, as you said, is called the MEND Act. It stands for Mental Health Emergency Needs in Disaster. And what we realized in talking with our flood victims here in Vermont from our horrific flooding last summer is that there is a tremendous amount of trauma that people go through, certainly in the hours and the days and the weeks following an emergency like this, but there's ongoing mental health supports that they need. So the bill is about looking at more long-term supports. So the first part of the bill is being able to deploy mobile mental health crisis units to hard-hit areas. And it's not just natural disasters like flooding, tornado, wildfires. It's also man-made disasters like a mass shooting incident that we would deploy units to the town or the area impacted and would have behavioral health counselors and support staff, non-clinical staff on site to do direct work, send out, disseminate resources, preventative materials, establish peer supports. And the most important piece for us is that it's longer term, because right now the programs available through FEMA are short term. And what we found is people need to be able to build those relationships with counselors that they trust, counselors that understand their communities to help them get through a traumatic event. So that's the first part of the bill. We also have included in there a permanent grant program that would disperse funding following an emergency, whether it's natural or man-made, to address behavioral and mental health impacts on the community. And it was really important to us to create a grant program that was much more flexible in nature, because this is what we heard. Each community is dealing with, you know, in our case, the flooding, and in different ways and needs different supports. So that's the second part. And the third part is that we've realized we need a lot more research on mental health, substance use disorder, and alcohol use disorder following disasters. We certainly saw that you can make a link between the amount of drinking of alcohol that people did related to the pandemic. You can make a connection certainly between people who are going through more trauma, that we see increases in substance use disorder. So, but what we need to do is figure out how do we, you know, crunch the data that will give us the information we need to do better preparation for the next time. And we want it to be a research that really addresses cultural, racial, and socioeconomic differences, and as it relates to how each community is dealing with a disaster. So this builds on other bills that I've introduced in this sphere of mental health. In Vermont, second behind housing, when people talk about the issues that are most important to them right now, it's housing, and close behind is mental health. And of course, those two things also have strong interplay.
We've been speaking with Vermont Congresswoman Becca Ballant, a Democrat at large in office since 2023. When we come back the next time, Congresswoman, let's do a little lightning round.
Okay.